Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, Matsya Prabhu, what verse did you do?
I didn't do a verse, so it was still on.
3 and 4 are on, okay.
We'll chant 3. Okay, I'll chant 3 and we'll chant 4 together. Denunam niyute pradad viprebyak samalam prite tiladrin saptaratnauga. Shatakwam Bambaravritan.
Okay. Verse 4.
Well, let me read the translation. Nanda Maharaj gave 2 million cows, completely decorated with cloth and jewels, in charity to the Brahmanas. He also gave them 7 hills of grain, covered with jewels, and with cloth decorated with golden embroidery. Text 4. Kalena snana shochabhyam.
Kalena snana shochabhyam.
Samskarais tapasejhyaya.
Samskarais tapasejhyaya.
Shudyanti danaik santushtya.
Shudyanti danaik
Dravyanyat matmo vidyaya. Kalena snana shochabhyam.
Kalena snana shochabhyam.
Samskarais tapasejyaya.
Samskarais tapasejyaya.
Shudyanti dhanaik santushtya.
Shudyanti dhanaik santushtya.
Dravyanyat matmo vidyaya. Kalena snana shochabhyam. Samskarais tapasejyaya.
Kalena snana
shochabhyam. Vidyaya. Kalena. By due course of time. The land and other material things become purified. Snana shochabhyam.
Snana shochabhyam.
By bathing. The body becomes purified.
And by cleansing.
Unclean things become purified. Samskarahi. By purificatory processes.
By purificatory processes.
Birth becomes purified.
Birth becomes purified.
Tapasa.
Tapasa.
By austerity.
By austerity.
The senses become purified.
The senses become purified.
Ijiyaya.
Ijiyaya.
By worship.
By worship.
The Brahmanas become purified.
The Brahmanas become purified.
Shudyanti.
Shudyanti.
Become purified.
Become purified.
Danaih.
Danaih.
By charity.
By charity.
Wealth becomes purified.
Wealth becomes purified.
Santushtya.
Santushtya.
By satisfaction.
By satisfaction.
The mind becomes purified.
The mind becomes purified.
Dravyani.
Dravyani.
All material possessions.
All material possessions.
Such as cows, land, and gold.
Such as cows, land, and gold.
Atma.
Atma.
The soul.
The soul.
becomes purified.
Atmavidyaya.
By self-realization. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King, by the passing of time, land and other material possessions are purified. By bathing, the body is purified. And by being cleansed, unclean things are purified. By purificatory ceremonies, birth is purified. By austerity, the senses are purified. And by worship and charity offered to the Brahmanas, material possessions are purified. By satisfaction, the mind is purified. And by self-realization or Krishna consciousness, the soul is purified. Purport. There are Shastric injunctions concerning how one can purify everything according to Vedic civilization. Unless purified, anything we use will infect us with contamination. In India 5,000 years ago, even in the villages such as that of Nanda Maharaja, people knew how to purify things, and thus they enjoyed even material life without contamination. Enjoyed material life. Material life is, by definition, a life of selfish enjoyment. Why should we be living such a life in the first place? The most radical approach to solve our problems is to just give up everything material immediately. But few are able and ready to do that. Some impersonalists are serious to give up everything. And some devotees are ready to give everything for Krishna. But most people are not ready. Therefore, they need a method of gradual purification. The Vedas are very kind. They want to give guidance and deliver all human beings. Therefore, they give sanction for selfish sense gratification. They allow it. Krishna is allowing it through his agency, the Vedas. It's Krishna's kindness that's being manifested by the Vedas, so that we are allowed to enjoy material life without becoming contaminated, without becoming, of course, that's contradictory. Prabhupada commented in Hawaii, I heard him say it, to trying to purify these Europeans and Americans is like trying to wash pieces of coal. It's dirty all the way through. How are you going to clean it? Like that, material life is nothing but contamination. You may think you're a Paka Brahmana, you're clean. We were in Udupi, and Archimurti and I managed to, on an invitation, sneak upstairs to eat with the Brahmanas, although usually we were not allowed to. We're Malechas. We're not allowed to eat with the Brahmins. And the Brahmana who invited us up there, that Swami, it wasn't the Paryaya Swami, another Swami was hosting the lunch, and he didn't care. He didn't mind having us there. And the person who brought us there asked some Lady Brahman across the row on the other side, if we could borrow a little water out of her loda. And she refused. No, I think she said, I'm muddy. I think muddy means I'm pure. She said something like that. She said, I'm pure. The word muddy, maybe? I'm pure. I'm not giving you my water. You know? This is arrogance. You think you're so pure. You're walking around in a bag made out of stool, blood, and mucus. And you know, and these things are coming out of the nine holes of your body, you know, and you think you're pure. What arrogance to think that you're a proper, you know, that you're clean. If you're living in the material world, you're not clean. If you're walking around in a human body, you're walking around in a bag of filth. You know, in a body made out of meat, meat is not clean. We're working on bodies made out of meat and other not clean things. How can we consider ourselves clean under any condition in this material world? Even if you're a demigod walking around in an ethereal body, it's still dirty. So it's only relative, in a relative sense, that we can say, make such a contradictory statement, enjoy material life without contamination. First of all, why should we be enjoying material life? But okay, many people cannot avoid it. They have to try to enjoy it. They've got some enjoyment to do. Nowadays, it's not that people come to us and say, you know, I'd like to surrender, but I'm really having too much of a good time. I want to enjoy more. That's not what we hear from people. When you actually go out there, people tell us, I have to suffer more. You know, my parents are making me do this and that. I have to go to school. I have to get married. I have to work. It doesn't sound like enjoyment to me. It sounds like they're saying I have to suffer more. Yeah. You know, when you actually hear people speak, they're not talking about enjoying. They're talking about suffering. And they're forced to suffer in the name of enjoyment. Where is the enjoyment? At least in this country, people are not, you know, even thinking about enjoyment. They're too busy suffering. And maybe you go to the West and there's the advertisement that, you know, that you think you're enjoying. Smoke this cigarette, drink this poison, and enjoy life. There's propaganda or a myth of enjoyment. But at least people here know that they're suffering. They're being oppressed by their families and being driven insane. You can't even imagine to call it enjoyment. Anyway, there is such a thing as Vedic civilization. It used to be practiced here in India. And in Vedic civilization, you actually can, in some relative way, enjoy life in this world without becoming degraded too much. You can sort of enjoy, sort of without becoming degraded. And it is possible by following the Vedic instructions. The Vedas are the agents of the Lord to give us knowledge. It's the handbook, how to use the human body. You buy a fancy machine, it's advisable. Before you break it, or before you waste so much money you spent on it, and you use it, you don't take full advantage of it because you haven't read the instructions, or you break the machine. So read the instruction book before you try to use this expensive machine you've purchased. And our biggest investment is this human body. We've invested a lot of karma into earning this human body. You may think it's only worth $20 worth of chemicals, but a lot of karma went into accumulating the credit to get this human body. Don't waste it. Read the instruction book before you misuse it, before you break it, or fail to take full advantage of it. The instruction book that comes along with the human body is the Vedas. The Vedic instruction will allow us to use in the best way this human body. Of course, like all manufactured machines, there's built-in obsolescence. The computer only is meant to work, to function for 5 years, and then to become dysfunctional so that you have to buy a new one. Similarly, this human body will last, if there's no serious breakdown, maybe 80 years or a few more than that at this time in Kali Yuga. Maybe 80, maybe 85. Beyond that, the body is going to be so sick and invalid anyway, it won't be of much use beyond 85 years. It's built in obsolescence. It's meant to die. You can try to enjoy it for some time, but only for some time. The Shastric injunctions are there. How to purify things. in general sense, how to live a pure life. In specific ways, how to keep things clean. When things do become contaminated, how to purify them. There's a whole long chapter in the Manusmriti listing how to purification is effective for what kind of contamination. Some things are purified by fire, some by water, some things when they get dirty. Some by air, some by mantra. There's different purification for different forms of contamination. Different substances become contaminated. That contamination is counteracted by different agents of purification. That's specific purification, but there's more important is the general purification. This is the business of a brahmana, to stay generally purified. The lady was sort of right. That is the business of a brahmana to try to be clean. What wasn't right was her arrogant attitude and her refusal to do a little bit of service to the Vaishnavas. But the general idea that a brahmana is supposed to be pure, that's correct. And not just ritualistically pure. You know, chanting the right mantras and putting your fingers in the right place and not putting it in the wrong places. There's more to it than that. It's a whole lifestyle. Shamo dabha tapak shaucham. Shantir arjavam evaja. Gyanam viganam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. This is the natural because it's a Brahman, one who's actually got a Brahman nature, he will naturally have some tendency and some capacity to do these things. Otherwise, what kind of Brahman is he? He's not rightly designated. If he's supposed to be a Brahman, but he has no desire and no ability to do these things. Shama. To keep his mind peaceful. Your mind shouldn't be hankering for selfish material sense gratification in the first place. It should be satisfied within. And if there is some agitation, just like a second line of defense, the enemy is threatening to attack your city. You put up two lines of defenses, one some distance from the city and one very close to the city walls. So that if the enemy gets through the first line of defense, the soldiers at the second line of defense, closer to the city, can still try to keep them away. Like that, Shama is the first line of defense. Keep your mind peaceful. Don't have any desire for sense gratification. Then Maya can, you know, wave herself in front of you and you won't be interested. But if you're agitated, then you're vulnerable to the temptations of Maya, of lust, envy, and greed. You're not feeling satisfied, then you're going to have to do something about it. You're going to have to do some violence against someone else. You feel angry, so you punch somebody else in the face. Or you indulge your senses and enjoy some stimulation of the senses in reaction to your agitation. Or you accumulate possessions. Go to the shopping mall and shop until you drop. That will relieve your agitation and boredom. Whatever, lust, envy, or greed, take your pick. To relieve yourself of your dissatisfaction. So the best thing for a Brahman is first of all just be satisfied. Then you won't be agitated. And if agitation comes, and usually it does anyway, some agitation comes, tolerate it and don't give in. That's Dhamma, the second line of defense. When there is agitation, tolerate it. Tapa, austerity, or taking trouble for a higher purpose. And it also means concentration of your intelligence. Tapas means to fix your intelligence on a high goal and don't let it waver. Shaucham, cleanliness, external, internal. Shantir, forgiveness, very important for a brahmana. We have things that we have to forgive. People do wrong things to us. It's just the nature of the material world. We get abused in various ways. Nobody, you know, you'll never have complete justice. So when injustice has been done to you, you have to be willing to forgive. It doesn't mean you'd never defend yourself. But even when you have to fight against an enemy, you're ready to forgive him also. While you're defending yourself, you should be forgiving. That's permissible. Because if you can't be forgiving, then you'll become angry. You may be very proud. You'll consider other people and even other devotees your enemies. And then that is already very degraded. Especially for a Brahmana. Brahmana, to have enemies is extremely inappropriate. For a Kshatriya, he's got to identify some people as his enemies. If he doesn't, he says, okay, we're not going to consider anybody our enemy. We're going to adopt nonviolence and disband the army and the police. Then he's not going to be able to defend the kingdom. He's actually asking for the destruction of his kingdom by disbanding his army and his police and proclaiming nonviolence. A Kshatriya has to recognize enemies and deal with them as enemies. But a Brahmana does not. A Brahmana shouldn't consider others as enemies. And to avoid it, he has to practice tolerance. When someone transgresses against you, not that we have to be sentimental and turn the other cheek. We can defend ourselves, but we also have to be forgiving, ready to forgive. There may be a fight, but at the end of the fight, you have to be ready to shake hands and forgive. Shantya Arjavam, simplicity, honesty. Don't lie, don't cheat. That's not easy in the modern world. If you're living as a grihastha, do you have to, if you're supposed to be a Brahmin, do you have to tell exactly the truth to the income tax officers? Do you have to report every penny? Do you have to, if you're doing business, do you have to be completely honest with everybody? Yeah, I'll sell this to you, for 20 rupees, even though I only bought it for 10. Do you have to disclose that to all your customers? How much you paid for the items? So how can you be completely honest in the real world? But a Brahmana, better he isn't a businessman. Better he lives such a simple life that he can be as honest as possible. Live a complicated life, then you have to be dishonest. Simplify your life so you can be honest. It's the responsibility of a Brahmana. And don't be dishonest when you don't have to. Sometimes diplomacy is required, but if we indulge in duplicity just out of perversiveness, that's very unbiblical. Did you Arjavam Ganam Viganam Astikyam? Everything listed up to now is mostly negative, what not to do. Okay, that's all the things a Brahmin should avoid doing. Indulging in sense gratification. They're maybe expressed in positive terms, but they're actually negative things. Don't be violent, don't be greedy, don't be intolerant. But what should you do? Maybe I should just sit in a corner and never go outside. Then I can avoid getting in trouble. Maybe I should do nothing. But a Brahmin, there is things that a Brahmin should be doing. He should Gyanam Viganam Anastikyam. He should be cultivating knowledge, realization, and devotion. This is what our business really is. Ultimately, to become devoted to Krishna. That goes beyond ordinary Brahminical duties. That's Vaishnava's duty. But we're trying to be Vaishnava Brahmanas. So our astikyam is not just faith in the Vedic mantras, but faith in Krishna. Our faith should be primarily in Krishna, not just in the Karma Kanda or the Jnana Kanda. Our faith is in the Bhagavatam and its glorification of Krishna. We may know all the rules of what to do and what not to do, but if we just use that knowledge to harass other people. You know, you're not doing this right, you're not doing that right, you're not qualified to do this service because you're making these mistakes. And we simply use our knowledge of what's right and what's wrong to find fault with everybody else out of pride and intolerance, then that's not very brahminical, and it's not at all devotional. So purification goes beyond just keeping your hands away from your mouth and other things like that. It's not just external. It's a whole lifestyle of not being materialistic. This is saintly life. Titikshavak karunaka suridak sarvadehinam ajata shatravak shanta sadhava sadhubhushana. This is Kapiladeva's saying basically the same thing. The saintly devotees are tolerant, compassionate, and thus they are friends to everybody. They don't just divide everyone up into some friends and some enemies, but everyone is their friend. Nobody is their enemy. Ajata Shatrava. Their enemies have never been born. Someone who has never been born doesn't exist. You won't find his name in the phone book if he was never born. You might find the name in the phone book of people who have died. You know, they may still be, by mistake, may still be on the records. But if he was never born, there's no way there could be a record of his existence. He never existed. A non-entity. Unishtojnitz. Non-entity. So the enemy of a devotee should be a non-entity. There shouldn't be such a thing. Sadhava, sadhu, these are the saintly devotees endowed with all transcendental qualities. So this is the description of Nandotsava. But this one verse is taking a short detour to make a general statement. This is what is called Artantara Nyasa. This is Samarpaka Hetu. Okay. And this is Samanyina Vishesha Samartanam. We're talking about a specific story about Nanda Maharaj, but we make a point about it. We underscore something by making a general statement about how things are purified. This is Artantara Nyasa, the poetic device of bringing in an apparently irrelevant thing, but for a purpose. General statement is being made here to help underscore, highlight the specific description. Because Nanda Maharaj is a perfect example of how a grihastha can purify his existence. If you can give 2 million cows in charity on the occasion of Krishna's birthday, then you've purified your life. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yeah, Michael.
Madi is there even among these brahmanas who are worshipping. So when they are just going for worship, then they are in Madi. And when they are in Madi, even the other brahmanas don't touch them.
Yes.
So
just like, you know, the Madhva sannyasis, they don't hand the items that have been offered to somebody. They put them on the ground. Don't even their brahmachari system won't go near them, won't touch them.
He has written, again, instructing all the brahmanas, he has written Madi and the Mar Maru Haradev, saying Madi, don't jump for long. Don't jump, Maru means big measure of distance, like they jump Madi. So don't jump saying muddy, what muddy can be there for a body which is not a stone and even inside. And they sing that also.
That's all song? It's a song?
It's a song, it's a big song, but it begins like that.
Oh. Maybe you can teach it to us, we can sing it when we go down there. What's that Bengali thing? Vaishnava Pararenu? Vaishnava Pararenu, what's that first? No, no, about the three things? Yeah. Vakshaparaduli. So this is how we should stay purified, by grabbing the dust off of the devotees' feet, the prasadam off of their plates, and what else?
The water wash their feet.
And the water that wash their feet, those three things?
Yeah, go wash my feet and drink the water. I'll go nothing.
Okay, this is how we can become purified. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Remember, meeting at 9:30. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.